This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the first of a series of special short episodes of the No Nay Never podcast, which is, of course, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. This week, as Christmas approaches and, more importantly, the return of club football, we are featuring three Burnley Football Club-related books that would make great gifts for the Clarets in your life. First up, we're going to hear from Michael Hodkinson, author of the brilliantly titled No Nay Never, who regular listeners will remember we spoke to last September when his book on the rivalry between us and them lot down the road was first published. With the resurrection of the East Lancs Derby, which we all haven't forgotten, I would like to add, Michael has updated his book, which sold out last year, and has published more copies for fans to get their hands on. We have one copy to give away, so do stay tuned to our social channels for your chance to win. Later in the week, we'll also be hearing from club legend Barry Kilby, who has published his memoirs, Starting From Scratch, and from sports author and Clarets fan Tim Quelch, whose new book, Northern Exposure, is a 50-year-old diary of watching Burnley FC rise, fall and rise again. But for now, it's over to producer Matt, who sat down with No Nay Never author Michael Hodkinson to discuss all things Rovers and Clarets after the dust had settled from the latest East Lancs derby.
So we are delighted to be joined again by an author who we spoke to last season. Regular listeners will remember Michael Hodkinson, who wrote the wonderfully titled No Nay Never book all about the East Lancashire rivalry between Burnley and them lot down the road. And Michael joins us again today. Michael, hello, welcome back to the podcast. How are you?
Thank you, Matt. Yeah. It's an awful day outside, but it's still nice to be on.
So Michael's updated his book, and we will get to that in a bit about what's new in the No Nay Never book and where you can get it if you haven't already got a copy. But first, Michael, since we last spoke to you, there's been practically a whole season's worth of action for both clubs. And I just wanted to get your view on Rovers' performance last season, because they were going pretty strong and they were up there amongst the playoff contenders. And then they started to fall away. How was it last season following Rovers? And was it disappointing when they did fall away in the end, or could you see it coming?
Well, I mean, you are, as a supporter of a club, as you will know, you always live in hope, and certainly with 8 games to play, there was still very much a chance that we would be in the playoffs. But they only got 2 wins in those last 8 games, and basically that's what blew it. Now, they relied heavily on Ben Bertrand Diaz to score the goals last season. And he had a wonderful spell into January, really. But then he got injuries, and they were relying on him playing 90 minutes, really, of every single game, you know. And then the Championship is, as you people will be finding out again this season, the Championship is a marathon. It's a very long, hotly contested affair. And... I think the injuries he got, and of course he was flying off to Chile to play in the Copa America and the qualifiers for the World Cup. And without him at full capacity, I think that was one of the reasons why they fell. And also, in the last three seasons, they've taken Alwoni from Liverpool, which seems to have this arrangement with Liverpool, a very, very positive arrangement with Liverpool, from the role point of view. And 2 years ago, they had that wonderful Harvey Elliott, who was now a sort of a regular in the first team announcement. They had him, and he made a big difference. This year, they've got Tyler Moore, who is perhaps not quite as good as Elliott, but he's still a very, very good player in the running court. But the unfortunate Clarkson, who came last season, he was disappointing, really. He couldn't really hack it at that level, at that stage of his development, and that didn't help. But also, you do need, I think, to get anywhere, really, almost at any level of football, you need money. And the Rovers have, the last few years, have never really quite had that money, and so they've never been able to speculate too much in the transfer market, you know, go for a marquee player at the right time. And Bradley Dack, at one time, would have fitted that description. Of course, he lost virtually two seasons with his two cruciate ligament injuries, and even up to now has struggled to get him back to full fitness. And I just don't think they had enough in the tank, really, as it got towards the end of the season. And obviously, for a role support, it was disappointing. It was a bit of a roller coaster ride, and we had our throws along the way, but the spills at the end, it was a bit hard to take.
And obviously, on the other side of it, there was a very tough season for Burnley and their followers, which obviously culminated in relegation at the end, although we got so close to avoiding it. How was it viewing that from the Rovers side of the fence, as it were? And were you taking delight in that? Were you empathising at all? And when the shock sacking of Dyche came at Easter, how was that viewed amongst the Rovers fans? Was the delight? Was there an equal amount of shock? And what did you make of Burnley's attempts to stay up last season?
Well, I think on the Sean Dyche thing, I think there was a tremendous amount of shock. I think there was throughout football because he was quite revered, really. I think wherever in the game he was revered, because I think everybody had recognised that he performed a miracle, really, at Turf Moor. He kept a side, again, which similar, really, to the Rovers, didn't really have the money to be where they were. And somehow, what was it, 8 feet now? That's like, you know, 6-7 seasons, he kept them up, six, he kept them up there. And so I think there was some sadness, really, that he got the push. Now, it was interesting, really, I think, from memory, that it was still in Burnley's hands when it came down to the final furlong, really. And I think 4 points from the last four games would have saved them. And although none of them were guineas, Aston Villa twice, and we were quite an underperforming outfit, and we got 1 point out of those two games. We lost to Tottenham, which I suppose was probably expected. And then, really, I think if Steve Bruce had still been at Newcastle, I think we'd have probably got the 3 points there. But obviously, Newcastle did improve. And the great irony, of course, was that the guy who sent them down was the predecessor to Dyche at Burnley. You know, that must have hurt somewhat, I suspect. But the other fascinating aspect at the end of last season was that, I mean, we wanted to get to a situation where Derby games could resume, because the Derby games light up the season. And And there were so many options of what could have happened. The Rovers could have gone up and Burnley could have stayed up, which, I mean, that would have been the greatest thing of all, really, to resume Derby's in January. So it was that. Burnley could have come down and the Rovers had gone up, so there were no Derby games. Burnley could have stayed up, the Rovers not go up, so there were no Derby games. And, of course, what? In the end, that Burnley came down. So at least we've got the Derby games out to that. But, I mean, it depends who you talk to about it. I mean, just as in Burnley, I mean, there's a lot of antipathy, really, to the opposition. I mean, you start this piece by saying, then what, down the road, you know, well, I mean, we say the same thing. It's to the law. It's the enemy, really. I'm not in that camp. I'm a Rovers man, but I've got a great affinity to Burnley. And I think I'm a bit rare, really, in that. But I think there's a lot of Rovers fans who secretly have quite a lot of respect for Burnley. And so I don't think there were huge celebrations when we came down, really. Just the anticipation, maybe, of seeing the argument.
Absolutely. And then we saw both clubs make a number of changes over the season, both changing their managers. What did you make of Mowbray's departure and the appointments of John Dyle Thomas and Rovers and what he did in terms of transfers over the summer for you?
Well, I think it was expected that Mowbray would go. I mean, again, he was somebody who, generally speaking, was pretty highly respected in the Blackburn area, because he kept them up for, well, the first season he was there. I mean, he was a commission, possibly, really, because they were searched to go down when we took them over, and they only went down on goal average on the very last day of the season. So he almost kept them up, brought them straight back up. And kept them competitive in, as I said earlier, a very competitive league. And I don't know, but, you know, I think as with Sean Dyche, really, there's unless you're an Alex Ferguson or an Arsene Wenger, and probably Brian Clough going back, you know, 2-3 decades, I think it's very difficult for a manager to stay at a club now for a heck of a length of time. We only have to look at the statistics at the moment. And more than half the clubs, I think, in all of the Football League have changed their manager within the last 12 months. So, you know, Mowbray did five and a half at the Rovers. And I think it was probably time for him to go, really. He didn't get sacked. His contract had come to an end, and they seem to have come to this mutual agreement that, you know, but they would say goodbye then. So, yeah, I was sad to see him go, but I do think, particularly in retrospect, they needed that change. They needed a new blood. John Dyle Thomason, I think he's very much a member of the new breed of managers. Tony Mowbray, I think, would admit himself, he's one of the old breed, and there's nothing wrong with being part of the old breed. But we have seen a lot of changes, really, in the way the Rovers have played this season. I'm not always in favour of it, because, I mean, when we're trying to play 1-2s in our own penalty area, you know, your heart's in your mouth. And I don't think the Rovers are quite good enough to do that. They got away with it virtually all the season until they came to Turf Moor the other week. And then they got found out by playing that sort of football there. And watching the game, I just thought, if you leather it down the other end and fight scrap like mad for the second ball, you know, maybe Burnley are not quite as good defensively as they are coming forward. And they could have got something, but really, they never really took the game to Burnley. And that was a disappointment. Well, having said that, he's conjured up some tremendous value from you. We've got 12 wins, and you know, we've got this crazy record of 12 wins, 9 defeats, and no draws. I don't know what the record for that is. It probably take about 6 weeks to research it. But he must be heading towards a record, really. That. So yeah, there's been a lot of differences with Thompson in terms of recruitment. Yes and no. Again, I think he's been a money situation. I think company really at Burnley. I think the American owners seem to have pumped in more money to Burnley than the bankers have been able to do it. If anybody had said to me, you know, at the World Cup rate, would you take third place? I think we all were over supporters of the Britain on that.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, and the same goes on our side. With the amount of changes that happened over the summer and the complete rebuild of a team, we had no idea how that team was going to gel. And that second half against Sheffield United, where we got taken apart, that half was what we were fearing might happen on a more regular basis in this first part of the season, and it hasn't. He has made this team kind of work. We've thrown away some points that we could have held on to as wins. But again, if you told us we'd be top of the table going into the World Cup break and having won the East Lancs derby, everyone in the town would have taken that at the start of the season. So, coming round now, you've touched on it very briefly, the actual derby itself. Again, from a Rovers point of view, going into the match, were you confident? Did you think the Rovers could get something out of it? Being, as you just touched on, a kind of an all-or-nothing team this season, you've either been winning games, getting ahead and seeing them out, or you've been losing games. I know we spoke to Matt Sillitoe before the derby, who's the PA announcer at Ewood Park, and he touched on the fact that the first goal could be crucial, because when Rovers go behind, I don't think they've come from behind this season to get anything out of a game. So how were you feeling going into the derby? And then what did you make of the game itself, both on and off the pitch? Because obviously there were changes this season. It wasn't a bubble game anymore. It was a Remembrance Sunday. So there was a lot of off-the-field elements to the derby as well this season. What was your take on it all, Michael?
Well, statistically, you tend to lose away games more than you lose home games. And so on that alone, I had Burnley as the favourites going into it. I thought it would have been a close affair. I was quite shocked, really, by the final score. 3-0 was a bit of a drubbing in it, really. Apart from in the 2000-2001 season when we managed to handle a 5-0 lead, I think you've got to go back into the 70s to find a derby game which had a 3-goal difference. So that was a big surprise. It wasn't a close game, really. It's off to Burnley, really. You fully deserve to win. I don't think anybody could question that. I thought that Raritan Diaz was actually fouled in the penalty area, but it was still 0-0. I thought one of your defenders pushed him from behind. It was just in the area. And I also think he was probably the last man. So maybe Burnley could have been down to 10 men, and the referee obviously didn't see that. But other than that, it was a convincing display by your club. And I mean, it was the first time I'd seen him in action this season, and I was quite impressed by the ability of some of the players, the speed of some of the players that he had on shore. And then, of course, sort of brought on an old codger, really, didn't you? Started with a codger, with Aston Barnes, and he really came up with the goals, didn't he? And the way he put that header in, it's tremendous. And Ayala, who really is a strong man of the road in defence this season, for once came across somebody who struggled to handle. You know, Ayala's a very, very competent defender. He's a rock of a mountain. He's a big item. Warren seemed to sort of, have a measure of him in those 90 minutes. So, yeah, and the Derby game was a disappointment. I mean, it came as a big surprise also that, as you put it, we're playing out of the bubble. The buses have been a sort of a regular, haven't they, in Derby games for 20 years or so. I wondered how they would get away with that, but I wasn't actually at the match on television, but compared with some previous games, there didn't seem to be that much trouble, really.
No, and that's kind of what we've heard, you know, from the people who were there. We've not heard really of any trouble. You know, the police and the clubs took certain measures. You know, it wasn't a complete kind of throwaway of everything. There was a very big presence. There was, you know, a physical barrier on Harry Potts Way from where the away fans go in and things like that. But yeah, it certainly seems that it kind of went ahead without any of the trouble that we maybe have been fearing and maybe have seen in other games since fans were allowed back into grounds.
There's no doubt that you appointed a manager in football has a very big name, much respected man. When he was at Manchester City, and I think the City fans would probably have said that a lot of their early successes, from 10 onwards, really, were due to sort of the steadfastness and the Vincent Kompany at the back, and also he just seems to set such a wonderful example to everyone around him. And I just wonder, really, if it wasn't his name that enabled you to buy some quite promising players, really. You know, and there's a point where it was a surprise. I mean, he seems to come from left field, really. I mean, I don't know if he really were. Yes, he didn't. I mean, he did there, yes, but I suspect it would be very difficult to do Babbler there in that way because, But certainly, a man with his reputation, I think, was bound to attract good, promising young players, and for Marks, apparently, probably not a bad thing, really.
Yeah, he certainly was the key to the summer, really, for us. Like you say, I think the name alone has attracted the vast majority of the signings we've brought in probably wouldn't have come if we'd been sat here with a manager just off the English merry-go-round of managers that you see going round and popping up at clubs here, there and everywhere. So yeah, fair play to the owners for whatever they had to do to convince Kompany to come to us. And fingers crossed that he can do the job for us this season.
The court made and went I'm sure when he arrived he had no real idea of the Derby. But I think he said something like that the owner said to him, well, your first task is to win the Derby. We want you to win the Derby more than we want you to get promotion. Sums up football around here,
really. It does a bit. So that brings us nicely on to your book, which is all about the East Lancashire Derby and the rivalry down the years. And with the resumption of the East Lancashire Derby this season, I believe you've managed to update your book and and there's a kind of an updated version of it available now. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, we sold every copy of the And the publisher's from sort of the West London area, a big Brentford fan. And I don't think he quite believed me when I said that a lot of people will be interested in this book. I don't think he thought it would go as fast as it did, because he didn't understand what the rivalry was about. And so he was shocked there. And so he said, let's do a reprint. And so I said to him, well, let's just wait until we see what's happening next season. Because if they both end up in the same league, if the Derbys are back on the agenda, then I can make reference to that by updating slightly. And so what I've done is, obviously, the original is at the end of the 2021 season. So there's several more pages been added for the 21-22 season. And it's amazing how many tiny little changes I had to make as well. So, you know, I've maybe made a comment somewhere. This is the first time in 132 years that this is happening, that type of comment. And then, so that then had to become 133. And all the way through, you know, I was having to sort of add, every time I sort of mentioned the figure, really, I was having to add a year to it. So it took ages to do that. But, I mean, it's not a book for somebody who's got the first one. I mean, you've got a lot of money, really. You can afford to sort of buy the second one because you've virtually got everything, really, in the first one. But it is buying. It's as up to date as a book ever can be.
And you can buy that book if you didn't get one of the original copies that sold out. You can get a copy of that from legendspublishing.net. And is it available elsewhere, Michael? Is it on Amazon and places like that?
It is available on Amazon, but also the Burnley Club Shop has taken a load of copies. And so if you're there, it's
fine. Marvellous. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you again, Michael, and to hear the views of a Rovers fan on everything that's happened over the last 15 months or so at both clubs. And wish you best of luck with the sales on this book. I'm sure you'll make a wonderful Christmas present for somebody in the East Lancashire area and across the world, wherever the fans are distributed. And I'm sure we'll speak to you again maybe after around the time that we make the trip down to Ewood Park.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Michael.
The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Natalie Bromley is the host and editor, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Richard Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, Adam Dennett, and Robbie Kopak. Our music is provided by George Gaskill, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonadnever.substack.com. Our thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are
away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
As ever, proud to be part of the Talk Sport Fan Network.
This podcast is proud to be part of the Talk Sport Fan Network.
Talk Sport. Powered by fans.